The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The revenue commissioners are looking to crack down on social media influencers who are not declaring income tax salaries, I suppose, and monies earned for income tax purposes. Over 450 letters were sent out to online influencers warning that even gifts and virtual currencies need to be declared. For more on this, I'm joined by Paul Merriman, CEO of Fairstone Ireland and founder of AskPaul.ie. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, what are they doing? Because there are so many online people out there, and who knows even in what jurisdiction they're living?
Yes, that's actually a very good point about the jurisdiction. I think revenue, this is a PR piece from the revenue commissioners to give a gentle nudge or reminder to influencers that if they are receiving gifts, if they are promoting goods online in lieu of payments, that they will have an income tax liability in most cases. In fairness, I'm surprised that it's only 450 letters, Pat. The letters have started coming out since 2023, so nearly two years now, and there's only 450 letters. So I think revenue keep rehatching this story into the media just to give influencers a reminder of what they should be doing. And I suppose a lot of influencers probably start their journey, Pat, where they might have an income already. They might be an employee somewhere, yeah, and they start the social media page as a side hustle, and they're not familiar with what they need to do. They might think they might need to pay income tax on it. So I think there's like an awareness campaign. And the big thing here for people that are on social media as influencers that are bringing in either gifts or income, that they do need to make a declaration to the revenue in most cases. And there's a couple of rules to go through here quickly. Up to 5,000 euro, you just have to go on to the revenue side yourself into the My Account section, put in up to the 5,000 euro and pay your tax. If it's more than 5,000 euro, you're going to have to do what's called a Form 11 and actually submit that tax return into the revenue commissioners. So like I said, it's more of a PR campaign, I think, because it's only 450 letters over 2 years. I'm surprised I think that's a really low figure from the amount of activity you see on social media. But yes, people do have a tax liability and they have got income coming in most cases. So it's very, very, very important that you get advice.
Now, I suppose it could be easy enough to track monies paid, you know, if there's a transfer into somebody's account, that can be discerned. But if it's something, suppose an influencer is there, and I've seen them many times, say, dissecting an advent calendar, you know, where you'll have one of the big cosmetic firms producing these every year, and they can cost hundreds and hundreds of euro. So what the influencer does is they unpack it before the camera, and I mean, it's useless after that except for personal consumption, because you can't flog it again. You've already, if you like, spoiled the surprise. Would they have to declare that?
They do, and there's a bit of a grey area. There's a bit of people are quite confused on this one. So if you're given a gift from a cosmetic company, your example, they're giving you that gift to promote in lieu of payment, and that's actually income taxable. Now, if they just gave you a gift and you didn't promote them online and you just use it for your own person, that falls under what's called a small gifts exemption, and that's 3,000 euro. You don't have to declare it. But once you promote the product, revenue will look at this and that you receive the product in lieu of payments to promote that product online for the cosmetic company, and they will look at that as an income. It's a payment in lieu. It's a payment in lieu. So I think it's very important that people realise that and make sure that they don't. I think everyone thinks it might fall under small gifts exemption because it's under 3,000 euro in your example, a couple of hundred euro, whatever. It's income. It's classed as income by the revenue commissioners, so you're going to have to declare it. I think this is where the grey line falls, and a lot of these people, the cars are the other one, Pat, where people might get cars. You might be given a car, and the car, the revenues look at this as what would the lease normally be. So let's say you get a car and the lease on that car was normal 8, or say it was 1,000 euro for figures, it's 12,000 euro a year. That's an income. You receive the car in lieu of payment because you're promoting the car, so that's an extra 12,000 euro in your tax return. And if you've already got income, if you're a single person over 44,000 euro, you're now in the higher rate of income tax on that car. So, and you're probably not getting the car you want, and you still have a tax liability, so you're still technically paying for the car. And I think this is where there's been so, I suppose, this it's great that revenue are highlighting this. I think people think when they get these things, because they're free and they're not paying for them or not being given money by somebody, I think people feel that once they're given money, they might realise you have to pay income on it. But if they're getting gifts or they're getting cars or they're getting anything like that, you still have the same obligation because, like I said, the big rule here, it's payment in lieu of service, gift in lieu of service. So it's really, really important.
Now,
tax bills can rack up.
You mentioned earlier that many of these influencers might have, if you like, a day job and they see this as a nice little earner on the side. And it may not amount to, you know, that much money in the greater scheme of things compared to their ordinary salary. But the question is, what can they discount against that for revenue purposes? I mean, they're using their own home. They've got their camera with the, you know, the special light on it to make them look great. They're heating themselves. They're paying for their Wi-Fi. They're doing all of that. So how much of that can they offset?
It's actually quite limited. It's the same as in all the PAYE worker, Pat. So if you think about it in that example, the influencers now, they're their own little mini business. They can off-write, I suppose, the laptop, the cameras, the phones, anything they're using, I suppose, in connection with this side business or the business that
is
them in the influencer business.
I mean, if they're not flogging clothes, they still have to look a bit smart online.
Yeah, and this is... That's a really good point, Pat. I think a lot of people fall into this trap. They think that they can buy clothes and when they buy the clothes, they wear the clothes in their videos and it's tax deductible. It's not. Revenue won't allow that whatsoever. So it's only the kind of the use of the technology in particular that you'll be using or a direct cost to run the business. So you will get a bit of off your Wi-Fi, your phone, if you're working from home, or your broadband, etc. But they're all very, very, very small payments. The same with normal people working from home as a normal PA.
And yet at the same time, people like nurses and other people who wear uniforms do get an allowance from the revenue.
Yeah, they would. But I think the uniform is different because it's a statutory part of your job. You know, you have to wear a uniform if you are, you know, in a particular job. An influencer doesn't have to wear a uniform. Having different clothes on every day is not part of the job, to be fair, or part of the gig. And again, just to be going with the clothes as well, the problem is if you're gifted clothes by somebody or send clothes from somebody and you promote them, the value of those clothes again go back on as an income liability as well while we're on the clothes subject. So I think the main thing here is that influencers need to be exceptionally careful. And if you're starting off as an influencer, it's really important that you get somebody behind you. I think get an accountant as soon as possible to make sure that you're not running up tax bills behind the scenes, because if you do get audited, don't forget, like, you know, back you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, people would have done Nixers on the side and they might have got cash for Nixers and they might have declared it cash because it was cash. But influencers are putting themselves kind of out in the world and they're leaving a paper trail behind them and leaving all this evidence. So if they are audited, it's quite easy to say, you were on this trip, you were driving this car, you're promoting this product. So it lives on the internet. So it's very, very easy from a revenue order to be found out, I suppose.
Now, this is, if you like, part of the black economy, I suppose. Texture, the black economy is huge. Surely in this day of AI, the revenue should be able to look at average earnings for certain professions. They should also look at, say, where a mechanic leaves employment in one PAYE job and suddenly has been paid less in the new job. The offers of cash to staff are huge and legitimate businesses are losing staff every day. So that's an interesting one, that suddenly someone moves to another position and they're being paid ostensibly less. You'd imagine something fishy there.
There is. And again, I think the use of AI might actually come into this eventually. But again, it's not that difficult. I mean, I read an article there a couple of days ago, somebody talking about how many influencers they follow, and they're up to nearly 450 on their Instagram or TikToks. It's all out there. Revenue can very easily spend a day or two or a week or two and be able to look at all these accounts and just check if there has any tax returns against the people in connection with the content. It's not rocket science to do. And I think they're going to get there eventually. And I think with the rise and rise of social media and the rise of influencers and how important they are in society now, as and how prevalent they are in society rather, I think it will be only a matter of time before revenue clamped down. I'm very surprised that's only 450 letters. I think this is going to ramp up massively over the next 12 to 24 months.
Now, a general question about the black economy from one of my texters. I think more people and workmen are offering cash or VAT-free prices again for the first time in a while. That's been my experience and that of my friends. You know, there's two prices. There's the receipted VAT receipted price and there's the other price.
Yes, yeah, I do agree. I think that is on the increase. I think that's down to the cost of living crisis, interest rates going up. But also, I think as well, from a trade point of view, there's just not enough tradespeople out there when you're looking at the trades industry in particular. So they can kind of probably get away with it more. And this is a very interesting one as well, because like I said, maybe 10, 15 years ago, cash was probably king when it came to those Nixers. But now you might see people pay by the likes of Revolut. And there's kind of misconception out there that because Revolut isn't your main bank account, you mightn't have to declare it, or people might be as freely to declare it as if it went into their own business bank account or their personal bank account. But again, it's a paper trail. It will be found on an audit. So be very, very, very upfront with all these payments, whether it's cash or Revolut. You also obviously need to declare all the income sources. But I do feel that there's a kind of misconception out there that Revolut, because it's not linked to the banks and it feels like cash to a lot of people, it's definitely not. And even if it was cash, it needs to be declared. But just make sure you are using the Revolut account when you are doing your tax returns, checking back over it, who paid you, and making sure you're declaring that income.
Can you ask Paul about the 3-day rule that came in for freelancers, where employers have now to put them on the books as full-time employees if they work for a minimum of 3 days, all as a result of the Domino's versus Revenue court case? It has decimated the livelihoods of freelancers countrywide.
Yes, I agree. It has. It definitely has. But you see, the problem here for revenue commissioners is that the businesses aren't paying the employer's PRSI. So if somebody's working for you as a freelancer or in that kind of ad hoc role, the revenue isn't collecting the PRSI. But if somebody is working for somebody for more than those 3 days, in fairness, it's like, for example, let's say for me here in Fairstone, we have, you know, over 106 employees and we pay PRSI, employer's PRSI for everybody. Why should somebody say they only have one person working 3 days a week, another person working two? Why should they not pay that employer's PRSI? So in fairness, I'm with revenue on this. And I think if it looks like an employee, they're sitting at a desk or they're doing a job for a certain amount of days a week, you know, that PRSI needs to be paid and it should be paid by the employer in the society, because that's what the rule is. Same with the IT sector. There's a lot of this going on where people are classing themselves as consultants. They're bringing in consultant salary, but they're working for companies on massive contracts for a long period of time, and they probably should be declared as employees, not employers' PRSI paid, and taxed on at source as well, rather than going through a consultancy company, expenses being written off. So these people have a massive advantage compared to a PAYE worker. And I think, again, it's another part that revenue are going to crack on massively over the next couple of years.
A couple of comments here. Lots of barbers and hairdressers only take cash. Start with them. That's according to Sue in Skerries.
Yes.
But a general point, why does the tax system in Ireland, why is it so punitive for those who want to do extra work?
Well, you see, it's income. So it doesn't make a difference if you're doing extra work. I mean, it's like, again, somebody working in our media news talk or for me here in Fairstone, if they want to work overtime, we pay them more. They're, as PAYE workers, they go through the tax system and they pay more tax. Just because you leave your day job as a PAYE worker and go out in the evening time and do a different job doesn't give you entitlement to pay less tax. You're still earning an income and under our revenue system, all income is taxable, as in that kind of earned income is taxable. So it's very, very, very important that people realise that. I know people think revenue are the big bad wolf, but this is the society we're in. We pay income tax. It doesn't make a difference if your income comes in the morning or the evening or from two jobs,
you know,
or three jobs.
People will respond to this kind of argument. This is the system and da-da-da. And they'll say, well, what about the bike shed? What about the wall? What about the children's hospital? Why should we pay them all this money to waste it, to squander it?
I'm the first person to say that. I don't like paying tax. I don't think anyone likes paying tax, especially when people go squander it. But I think the argument here is that if you're earning an income and you're living in Ireland and you're a tax resident in Ireland, you declare your income and you pay your income. I think the grey line here is that people think that when they finish their PAYE job, if they go out in the evening and earn an income in a different way, they don't fall under the income trap. They do. Is it nice? Absolutely not. Are the taxes really high? Absolutely. None of this is nice. Nobody likes paying tax, let's be honest. But like I said, just to clear it up for listeners, if you are earning an income outside your PAYE job, you pay your taxes, you fall into the tax bracket. You have to make a declaration. I said, are you wrong? I think the €5,000, just do it under my account section. And if it's over, you have to actually make a Form 11. And the listeners are probably going to be thinking in their head like I am. There's thousands of people out there in that gig economy tells the people in that kind of part-time work or after-hours work or the hairdressers or the barbers and a lot of people taking cash payments and they're not declaring. I think everybody knows it. But again, if you look at the size of revenue and there's only so many things revenue can do and get around to with the population, the size it is very difficult. You know, one caller already mentioned likes of AI.
Last question then is about which employer pays the PRSI. If you've got a day job, that's 40 hours a week, and then you're doing a little nighttime work as a barista or a barman or whatever, which employer pays the PRSI, or do they both?
They both pay the PRSI. If you're going through the payroll system, they'll both be paying the PRSI. The problem is, if the barista in the evening time is giving you cash, they're not paying the PRSI. If they're giving you cash or not declaring, they're giving you cash or not declaring you on the books, they're definitely not going to be paying the PRSI. In that example, I think that's what we're trying to get to. If the barista has you on payroll, as they should do, or the coffee shop has you on payroll, as they should do, they'll be paying you in the evening time a salary, and so will your kind of 9-to-5 job. So both will be paying the employer PRSI. It gets a bit complicated from the employer in relation to where they're actually paying and where their tax credits are adjusted from. Yeah. But that's a different day. But they both should be paying the employer's PRSI in that case.
Paul Merriman, CEO of Fairstone Ireland and founder of AskPaul.ie. Paul, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.